Welcome back to our study of Numbers. We are in chapter 16, and we have just read verse 41. And I want to read that again. And I want you to please pay particular attention to how this verse opens up. But on the morrow, and when you look up that word morrow in the Hebrew, it really means morrow, the next day. All the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "You have killed the people of the Lord." And we talked about last session, at the end of the session, about how they had just seen the earth open up, do a new thing, as Moses had said, do a new thing. The earth opened up and swallowed Korah and Dathan and Abiram, and Dathan and Abiram's family standing at the tent. And then not just that, those 250 or however many with the censers, the Lord had consumed them with fire, right? Fire came from the Lord and consumed them. And then the next morning, the people again are murmuring against, clearly, God's chosen leadership.
It says all the congregation.
All the congregation. And really, to me, what that shows is the power of negative thinking and how quickly that can spread. Because all it needed was one comment. Can you believe those people just died? That's all it would take to just spread dissension among the camp, to once again get these people in rebellion. Y'all, our thinking is so very important. What we choose to think on, it's vital. Because we'll either miss God, or we'll stay focused on Him. It's like there's almost the more I read, and it seems like there's two choices. You're either going to be focused on the Word of God, or you're going to be missing it. Focused on the world. Focused on self. Can you imagine? You think about how, here again, negative thinking. Thinking on self. Thinking on what we think is right. What I think. Clearly, if I'm not thinking what God's thinking, I'm thinking wrong. They were thinking wrong. I see now why the Lord told Joshua, you keep this word before you. You keep it before you at all times. Don't veer to the right. Don't veer to the left. You keep it before you. Y'all, we have to do the same thing, because if we start entertaining other voices that are contrary to this word, we're going to miss it too. And you see it happen in churches where people start murmuring against God's chosen leadership and what damage that can do. It just will divide the body, won't it?
You think of it in terms, just to get it in perspective. How small a match is, and then how big a forest is. You can burn a forest with just a little match. You understand? You just kindle that fire. And so all it takes is Korah saying, "What do you think about Moses and Aaron? You think they're taking too much on themselves?" And what happens? You just get this ripple effect, to the point that this ripple effect affects the whole congregation, is what it says here. And to where they all had that rebellious spirit on them. You understand? They've seen what happened to Dathan, Abiram, Korah. They saw what happened to the men who offered the incense. And now they're accusing Moses of killing them simply because Moses said, all right, let the Lord decide. But then they want to blame it on Moses. No fear of God. You understand? No fear of God. That's what amazes me. If you'd think that this natural phenomenon would get someone's attention. But the next day, they're in debate. Because it's been planted. That seed has been planted. And it just goes out. You better be cautious what you listen to. You understand? Because that bad spirit, I don't care who you are, that bad spirit get on you if you subject yourself to that bad spirit. And I mean, it can happen so quick. You can be, I think I've told you before, I've actually been in a setting, more than one, but in a particular setting I'm thinking about, someone said something to me about someone else. I'm as happy as, I'm fine as rain. Nope, no problem. But after they said something to me, inside me, I mean, it's like a fighting spirit. Slap them down. Whoa. I got to get out of this. And I just start praying in the spirit. To get that thought cast down on the inside of me. Because I recognize that spirit, critical spirit, is trying to get on me, to influence me, to do something that's absolutely none of my business. It's not even affecting me, other than trying to get me upset. Simply because of what you subjected yourself to. And so I try to be very cautious on selecting my environment. If I am forced into an environment that is not conducive, then I don't listen to what's being said. I'll either pray in my head, praying in the spirit, not out loud, not to draw attention, or I'll just start singing in my head, talking to the Lord, making melody in my heart to the Lord to block out that. You have to learn to block out those negative thoughts or that spirit gets in you. And I'm telling you, this is a disciplined life. Mm-hmm. It's not something you do one time and I got it. No, it's something that you constantly deal with. You have to deal with these things daily. You're guarding your heart with all diligence. They didn't guard their heart, did they? No, they let that thing in and let that thing get on them. Mm-hmm. You understand? They got like a little imp on your shoulder whispering in your ear. Did you see what they did? Did you see that? Did you see that? You know what that is? Man, that stuff's detrimental to you. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. I've had people call me. I don't want to hear it. I'm not interested in gossip. I don't need to know everything. God didn't call me to police the world. I have a full-time job policing me. You understand?
Yeah.
And we have to keep our attention on the Lord and not looking for more information. You understand? Some people, they want to know everything that's going on. If I'm not responsible for it, nothing to me. You understand? If I'm responsible for it, then that's one thing. But I'm not interested in idle talk and what this is doing, that is doing, and it'd be like me trying to run another church. What goes on in the church down the street, that's between them and God. But what goes on here is my responsibility. That I'd better give attention to. You understand? Learn what to give attention to and what to ignore.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Because the bottom line is, the God of this world, that this age is always going to be speaking against the Word of God. And so our job is to hold on to the Word of God.
I was just talking to a minister today, and it just seems to be inherent in people now to rebel against authority, rebel against leadership, civil leadership, family leadership, church leadership. It's a spirit, a demonic spirit that's loosed in this nation to try to get people to rebel against authority. And some of it is done so subtle. You know, do you know what so-and-so said? Do you know what so-and-so did? I've actually said no, and I really don't care. And I mean it. And that'll shut the conversation off. You know what they said about you? No, and I don't want to know. I had a lady call me. And I said, no, I don't want to know. You mean you don't want to know what somebody said about you? I said, no, I don't want to know. Then I don't have to deal with it. You understand? So if I see that person walking down the street, I have no bad feelings. As long as I don't know. But I can tell you right now, if you know, then you'll have to deal with those bad feelings. So you're better off just choosing not to know stuff. Instead of trying to know everything.
Yeah. Good. Very good. Verse 42.
Good.
And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared.
Now what you need to see in this, God sees what's going on. Don't think anything is getting by God. When it says the glory of the Lord appeared, that means God has shown up big time and to deal with the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And Moses, being so sensitive to God, immediately knows what's going on.
And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces.
Now here again, it's just the mark of a leader. God said, get out of the way. I'll wipe out the whole crowd. But the leader says, no.
Mm.
Don't do that. And he humbles himself before the Lord. Now, this is the people who have just rebelled against him that he's actually standing in the gap for and interceding for them. You understand this? What he and Aaron did here is actually an intercession for the people. But it didn't stop there. Let's go on into verse 46.
And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun.
So when Moses hears what God, get away from Aaron, get that censer, put the incense on, run, get out there in the congregation. Because the plague has already started. I mean, there was no time being wasted there. What's he doing? He's interceding.
Well,
offering the incense, standing between the dead and the living. You understand? Trying to prevent people from being killed. Now look at this next verse. How many people are killed as a result of that?
Let me go. I'm behind you. I'm on 47.
Okay. Go ahead.
And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now, they that died in the plague was 14,700 besides them that died about the matter of Korah.
You see that?
Yeah.
Even though they quickly intercede and take affirmative action, you understand, to try to prevent God from wiping out that nation. 14,700 people died from this disease. God struck them. What is this all about? It's about rebellion. Rebellion against God. You tell me it's a dangerous thing to rebel against God. He may not strike you with the disease right now. You may live for several years, but I will promise you one thing. He will deal with your rebellion. You're not going to get by with it. He'll let you repent, but you're not going to get by with it. You understand? And so to me, every person in church needs to read this until it gets into them and show them how important it is to understand the position God's put you in and stay in that position, bloom where you planted, and then respect those that God has in other positions and don't dare go against God. If you go against the authority God set, you're going against God. Now, I emphasize that God said, because in a lot of churches, God's not even there. Okay? But when God sets a person in the place and you go against that person, you're going against God. You think you're rebelling against a man, but it's not a man you're rebelling against. It's God you're rebelling against. And there is a consequence to it. In this case, thousands. You understand? But God honored the incense being offered by his designated person. The others will burn up.
Mm-hmm.
But God honors the incense there. What's he doing? He's standing between the dead and the living, mm-hmm. stopping that plague. I think it's amazing. I mean, it's so amazing.
You know, we talked about this, I think, last week, but rebellion starts in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so important for us to constantly examine our hearts. And when we see an issue, and we know, our conscience will let us know. Your own heart will let you know when something's not right. Our position then needs to get before the Lord.
The rebellion begins with a thought.
Oh, yeah.
That's why Paul in 2 Corinthians 10th chapter is telling us to capture every thought. You cast down the imaginations. You capture those thoughts that are not in agreement with God. You bring them into captivity. Anything that exalts itself above God, you better get that thing cast down. And it's in the thought life. That's where it starts. And if you meditate on that thought, it'll become a manifestation. It's just a matter of time before you carry out what you're thinking about. Just like with these people. They're thinking rebellion before they carry out rebellion. Yeah. But their thoughts provoke an action. You better watch what you're thinking about.
And when there's an issue, you go before the Lord. Lord, I'm having a problem with this. You know my heart. You already know what I'm thinking. This is what I'm having a problem with. I need you to help me with this. Help me see. I know I'm in the wrong. Repent. Turn. He'll talk to you. He'll give you a scripture. He'll talk to your heart and get that thing resolved. You got to nip it in the bud.
Personal.
Yeah.
Anyway. You know, people say, well, you can't have a personal relationship.
That's a
lie. Well, you're too late to tell me that because I've experienced it. They tell me the proof of the pudding's in the eating. And I've eaten. You understand? No, there is a personal relationship with the Lord. Moses had a personal relationship with the Lord.
He did.
Now, if he could do it under the old covenant, do you think that we can't do it under the new covenant when the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us?
We can.
He's in me. Can I not talk with him? Can he not talk with me? But the key is get him living in you.
Amen. So verse 50, this Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed.
This is an interesting thing to me, is he stands between the dead and the living, but somehow he knows when the disease stopped. And he returns to Moses at the tent of the meeting. You understand?
Yeah.
When you're in that position that God puts you in, like the high priest here, then he's sensitive to what needs to be done and when he needs to be done is fulfilled. And when you realize you fulfilled what you ordained to do, then you can go back to God. Go back. You understand the tabernacle meeting where Moses were, where God had came down. And then you can go back there. But wait till the job's finished. Okay? I'm telling you right now, we don't understand the power that we have to where we can actually stand between the dead and the living, so to speak. We can change courses through intercession. Now, I'm not talking about just flippantly speaking something. I'm talking about God dealing with your heart. You know you've heard from God and he needs a mouth to speak it out. And you can change things. You understand? But it's not going to be done out of your head. It'll be done out of your heart. Okay? And so, a lot of people have a head relationship, but they don't have a heart relationship. And that's why you don't see things take place. But when you have a heart relationship, then you're just speaking what God says. And if God says it, he's watching over his word. God doesn't watch over my word. But I can tell you right now, if I say his word, God will watch over that word. And that word will do what he sent that word to do. I had a friend back many years ago. I met him after the fact. Okay, he was a Christian when I met him. He was a heathen before that. As a matter of fact, he drank quite a bit. And he told me that he said he and his buddy were sitting on the front porch drinking, feeling no pain. And he said, all of a sudden, I just said to him, you better get your life right, you're going to hell. This is one sinner talking to another sinner. And he said, a couple of weeks later, he said, my friend said, I thought about what you said. He said, I went to church and I gave my heart to the Lord. And he said, and you need to do the same thing. Now, and he did. But isn't it interesting how God is using, even out of the mouth of a heathen, how God can take that and convict a man's heart. Not condoning his lifestyle of the drinking and all that, but how God will honor and use that to convict somebody's heart to get them saved. God is absolutely amazing, and I'm not in his league in thinking. His thoughts are so far superior to our thoughts. And we need to understand that. That's why we need to be sensitive to the Spirit and don't try to discount what you might think. It's just a minor thing. You get this little thought.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just ask people, where did the thought come from? Were you thinking about that? Is it, did something provoke that? Or did that thought just drop in you absolutely unprovoked? You wouldn't thinking about it, and you wouldn't have in a million years. And all of a sudden you get a thought, and you better pay attention. Pay attention, and then gauge that thought through the Scriptures. Does it agree with the Word of God? Does my spirit bear witness to this thing? Is God speaking to me? Would Jesus do this? And if it'll pass those three tests, then you need to do whatever that is. Okay?
Amen. Chapter 17. This chapter documents God's selection of Aaron's rod from the rods placed before him, God's command to put Aaron's rod in the testimony box, and the Israelites' fear of going near the tabernacle of the Lord.
Now, I want you to think about this. God confronted the rebellion with Korah,
mm-hmm.
Dathan, and Abiram. God confronted the rebellion of the people. And now, for the third time, God is showing who the ordained authority is. Man, I mean, we can be slow learners. And learning slow can cost people their lives. Okay? And so that's what we're getting ready to go into. God is saying, I'm going to show you another supernatural thing. And boy, is this supernatural.
Yeah. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and take every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, and of all their princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod.
Okay. 12 tribes.
Yeah.
Now, remember that when he says 12 tribes, that Joseph has two of those.
Okay.
That makes the 12. Levi is not included in that. And so ultimately there are going to be 13 rods. The leaders of these 12 tribes, we could say the governor of the state, you bring your rod. Governor of that state, you bring your rod. Each tribe leader was to bring his rod. Okay, that symbol of authority. Okay, he's to bring that. Okay. And Aaron, as the high priest, is to also bring his rod. So there'll be 13 rods that are laid up before the Lord. And each man, each one of these leaders, was to write his name on that rod, where there's no question about whose rod it is, okay? And Aaron's to write his name on his rod. Now, I'm a little ahead. You can go ahead and read verse 3.
And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi, for one rod shall be for the head of the house of the fathers. In verse 4, and thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony where I will meet with you.
Okay, so he takes these 13 rods. These leaders bring these rods. So he takes these rods and puts them in front of the testimony box, which is commonly called the Ark of the Covenant, you know, in English. That's where God met with Moses. And remember, God met with him there at the mercy seat. All right, let's put these rods. God tells Moses, all right, you put these rods in my presence. That's the key. You put them in my presence.
And it shall come to pass that the man's rod, whom I shall choose, shall blossom, and I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you.
And so the Lord declares that the rod of the man whom he has chosen is going to blossom. Now, that's pretty incredible with a dead piece of stick. Right? We're not talking about a tree. We're talking about a stick, okay, piece of wood. And he said, the one that blossomed is going to prove who I've chosen, and this is to subdue all these complaints. Okay?
And Moses spoke unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece. For each prince won, according to their father's houses, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness.
You see, Moses could go into there behind the veil. Aaron could only go once a year, right? Moses met with the Lord there. Okay, that's where the Lord taught him. And so each one of these tribal leaders brings his rod, gives it to Moses. His name's on it. Okay, he's not manipulating with these things. And Moses takes them in, and Aaron's rod as well, and places them in front of that ark. Now they're going to stay there overnight. Okay?
And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked, and took every man his rod.
And so the Lord told Moses to place all these in to test it before the box, and then he goes in the next day. Now, God has said the rod that blossoms will be my selection.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did Aaron's rod blossom, but that stick produced almonds.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that's rather incredible?
Yes.
That's an impossibility, naturally speaking.
Right.
But God's not limited to the natural.
Mm-hmm.
So God is using this to show, all right, this rod, the symbol of authority, this is the one I chose. These others, your authority over your tribes, but I chose this rod. I chose this man to be the high priest. Okay? Now, we'll go and read.
And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels. And thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. And Moses did so, as the Lord commanded him. So did he.
So the Lord tells Moses now to take that rod of Aaron's that has blossomed and also produced almonds. All right. Put it before the people, let them see it. And then, this is to remove the complaints concerning God's choice of leadership, so he could prevent the death of the complainers. In other words, listen, people, this is the proof. Shut up. Don't make me take action against you. And then he told Moses, now take that rod and put it in the Ark of the Covenant. Now, there's a lot of things there. At one time, that Ark of the Covenant had the Ten Commandments, which was the covenant. It also had the golden bowl of manna that he told Moses to put in there. If you remember, manna couldn't be kept overnight, or he'd breed worms. But when you put it in the presence of God, it's preserved, okay? And then he says, put Aaron's rod in. There's three things: the covenant, the life, and the authority are all in that presence under the mercy seat. If we look at it, the lid on the ark, okay? So it's the mercy of God that's cut a covenant with you. It's the mercy of God that gives you life. It's the mercy of God that gives an ordained authority over us. And we need to honor those things. You see, to me, Aaron's rod that blossomed brought forth almonds signifies that God confirms the leadership with the fruit of the anointing. You understand? There's a lot of people can take the position That's the inspiration of God in you. You may set yourself apart, but did God set you apart? If God set you apart, then you'll have the grace to do that job. Do you understand? There's certain positions in ministry I just don't have the grace to do. But God didn't call me to do that. But what He has called me to do, the grace is there. Do you understand? I've had people say, I don't see how you do this, I don't see how you do that. Well, it's because God puts you there, and that's what your assignment is. And how can a man sit at a desk and just do accounting all day long? Crunching little numbers. You got to have a grace to do that, you understand? And I'm not called to do that. You got something? Go ahead.
So one of the last things that we mentioned was that God confirms His leadership with the fruit of their anointing. And we need to be very cautious of the ones that are trying to glue blossoms on their rods.
It's good.
There will be ones that present false doctrines, false teachings, exalt themselves into positions of leadership, and claim that they are anointed of God. Be aware.
Just this week, I've been looking at some things there with YouTube. This person said, God said, and they give something that God said. This person say, God said, they give something that God said. Listen, God couldn't contradict Himself.
Okay.
If God's saying it, then what He's saying to you, what He's saying to me, are going to be in agreement. I understand that there can be blessing and wrath at the same time. The blessing on God's people, the wrath on the heathen. But you can't make that a blanket thing and say God's wrath on everybody or God's blessings on everybody. No, that's not the way it is. And there's a lot of things going on right now to dupe people. Don't fall for it. You listen to the Spirit of God in you, and you gauge everything by the Word of God and by the character of Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
Our time's up here, so we're going to have to stop. Okay. Well, I thank You that You bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make Your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up Your countenance upon us and give us peace. So, Lord, we invite You to rise up. Let Your enemies be scattered, and those who hate You flee before You. Amen.
Amen.
We hope to see every one of you Thursday night, and just look for a great evening as we celebrate together. And just God has blessed us. He's blessing us with food and a facility to enjoy it in. Isn't that wonderful?
That's what happened.